Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 6, Mark in chapter 6, once again on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the life of John the Baptist, and I trust it's been a very enlightening, a very helpful series as we've just been studying the life of John and a lot of practical applications in the life of John the Baptist, and there's so much there. He ushered in the New Testament church age. He was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prepared 30 years for about a six-month to one-year ministry. He was placed in jail, and he would be in this jail prison for over a year before we find that God allows him to be beheaded, martyred for the cause of Christ. And so there's so much there, and so we've been studying it. John is put in prison at this time. He was put in prison for preaching against adultery, divorce, and ungodly marriages. And I'll tell you what, God's given us that understanding that it is worth the persecution to stand where God wants us to stand on these issues. Amen. And it could be that just like John, a lot of good fundamental preachers are going to be put in prison, going to be put in jail for preaching against adultery, divorce, and ungodly marriages. Amen. And so it could be coming full circle. And I believe that's what it's going to be before the Lord returns for the church. And anyway, but we find that's why God has revealed that to us. And God allowed one of his choice servants to die with this testimony. And he stood where he needed to stand. And he was faithful to preach the word of God, no matter who it was that was in the audience that would hear it. Well, we know that Herod and Herodias was in the audience when he preached on that, and I don't know if he called him by name or not, but they knew that it was God convicting them over the sin that they were living in, and we find that that Herod puts John in prison. Last week we studied Herodias' response to John's preaching, and tonight we're going to be studying Herod's response to John's preaching. And so if you stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Mark chapter 6, we're going to read the same passage because it's all found right here and there's so much in this passage. And in verse 17, it'll help us to have a good understanding of this part in John's life. And this is the end of John's life on earth. And we'll find that God's allowing John the Baptist to be beheaded for the cause of Christ. Mark chapter 6 and verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for each one that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be here tonight. And we have assembled here in your name to hear from you. And Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. and the study that we're in on the life of John the Baptist and everything that you have recorded for us to learn from. And I pray, God, that you would help us to have insight into this portion of John's life and all that took place here, and help each one to hear what they need to hear tonight and make whatever application that they have need to make this evening. Empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So last week it was Herodias' response, and her response was, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. She was mad, furious at John the Baptist for preaching against her sin. Of course, she would not have seen it as being sin. She would have seen it as being the lifestyle that she chose, and that no one should be able to tell someone else that they should not live a certain type of lifestyle. And everyone ought to be able to do whatever seems right in their own eyes. And there's no real sin. There's no real wrong way to live. And just let everybody do whatever they feel like doing. And on and on and on. So this is the mentality. And I think that all of us here tonight know that that is a humanistic mentality. That is not the mindset that God would have for mankind. And so we find that Herodias had a quarrel against him because he was the one that actually preached against her sin. And the Bible says, and would have killed him. In her heart, she already decided this man has to die. And she would have had him killed right there. She is Herod's wife, and she would have had power. She probably would have had soldiers that she could have commanded to go over and take off his head right then and there. And she would have done that. That's what the Bible says. She would have killed him right then and right there. But she could not. And so we studied last week that her response, and the truth of that is when a person rejects God's light, which is God's word, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. And you'll find that because of her response, it gets so much darker in her life. And she gets so focused on this that she doesn't even care how it's going to affect her own family, her own children, her own daughter. And we're going to see some of that a little bit later when we see how it affects Herodias, his daughter. But tonight, we find that that same truth, when a person rejects God's light, they open themselves up to even greater darkness. Just a matter of time. Well, Herod's response. And Herod's response is really found there in chapter 6 and verse 19, the very end of that. Because it says, and would have killed him. But she could not. Now, the only one that would have kept Herodias from ordering her soldiers to go over and take John's head off right then and right there, the only one that could have prevented her from doing that would have been who? Herod. I can see Herod saying, no, calm down just a little bit. Calm down. I know you want to kill him, and I want to kill him right now too. And I know that he's preached against our sins. He could have named us. I don't think John would have named that. He's just preaching on sin. He's just preaching what God told him to preach. But you can see that right there. I've seen that look. Every now and then you'll see the husband go, oh, now calm down. Just teasing about that. But I'm sure that that's what's happened. Maybe not like that. Maybe just a dig in the side, They hear something that they don't want to hear preached on. They hear something that steps on their toes. And immediately the first response to that is, how dare you? How dare you tell me that I cannot do what I want to do and live how I want to live? And how dare you tell me that I can't have God's blessings on my life of adultery and my life of fornication and my life of whatever it might be? How dare you tell me that? Amen. Happens all the time in good Bible preaching churches. Amen. Every now and then, and I never like this, but you'll see somebody possibly get up and leave. Didn't realize they were in a Bible-believing church. If you come to a Bible-believing church, you know what you're going to hear? Bible. And if you come to hear Bible, don't be offended when the Bible's preached. When you come in, ask God, God, speak to me as I have need to be spoken to. If there's sin in my life, reveal it to me. If I need my toes stepped on, God, help the preacher to step on my toes. When you truly believe in God and you come to a Bible-believing church and you want to take the time and whatever it is that you're sacrificing to be there, you want to meet with God. We don't want to just have our ears tickled. We don't want to be told that we're good when we're not. We want to hear the truth. It could be the reason that we're not receiving the blessings of God, and God wants to take care of you, as we heard in the song, but the reason that you're not getting your needs met is because you've got sin in your life, and God's saying, until you acknowledge the sin and confess and forsake the sin, I cannot bless you. You have moved outside of my blessings. I cannot bless sin. I cannot bless your lifestyle. And so if you want my blessings, get back to where you need to be. You're never going to get back to where you need to be until you realize you're not where you ought to be. You have to come under conviction. You have to know the truth. And to know the truth, you got to hear the truth. And I trust that's why we come to church. To hear the truth. And so when you hear the truth, even though it might not be what you wanted to hear, if it's truth, allow God to apply it. Submit to it. Submit to it. Yeah. If it's truth, if it's Bible, and if this Bible is the words of God, I got to know that. I've got to know that this Bible is the very words of God. And if I want God's blessings, if I want to walk with God, I've got to do what He says to do. Got to live as He would have me to live. And so I'm going to do that by going to a church where I know that I hear the Bible preached. And when I hear the Bible preached, I am looking to make an application. Once I followed it, to make sure that it's not the preacher's conviction that I have, but it's the Holy Spirit convicting me on the Word of God. So this is what we have here. So Herod's, his first response is found by controlling Herodias. She could not. She would have if Herod would have said, go for it. But if you go over to Matthew chapter 14, we find a little bit more insight into Herod's thinking and what took place. Matthew chapter 14, that's Bible interprets Bible. And so it's a blessing when you have that. You go back and see, what did Matthew reveal about the very same story at the very same situation, very same time? And so we find Matthew gives us insight into Herod's response and how he deterred Herodias from killing John right on the spot. Matthew chapter 14, verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death. Who's he? Herod. Herod was in agreement with Herodias to start with. Now, you don't find that as much in Mark's account, but in Matthew's account, you find that he was probably telling her, I agree with you. Yeah, how dare him say that to us? Does he not know who he's talking to? Does he not know that we have the power to have his head cut off right now? Does not he see these soldiers next to us? Yeah, that's his first response. He would have killed him right then and there too. That's what the Bible says. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. He was a little more level-headed. Most of the time, men are a little more level-headed when it comes to emotional things than women. Most of the time. There's always exceptions. But Herod, so we find right there that Herod's first response to the preaching was identical to Herodias's. Do you not know who we are? How dare you? You know that we have that sin in our lives. How dare you stand up there and preach on the sin that you know that we have in our lives? How dare you stand against that? And Herodias would have sent the soldiers, take his head off. Herod said, no, we can't afford an uprising around here. The people like this preaching. The people look to this man as someone that is preaching the very words of God. And so, calm down. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. Not right now. Do you see this happening? I mean, that's what the Bible says. So his first response, Herod's response, would not allow Herodias to kill John. That's his first thoughts. At first, both were outraged. And because both of them were outraged, they fed on each other's anger and disbelief that John would address their sin. You find somebody that is as outraged as you are and you feed on their anger. If you're both wrong, where are you going to go with that? And that happens quite often. You don't know if you're right or wrong, but if you can find somebody else that tells you you're right, it just gets, and you're not looking to the light of God, it'll get you farther into darkness. Take you farther away from what God would truly want you to do and what God would truly want you to have on your mind. Now go back with me to Mark chapter 6. So we find here that Herod's first thought and his reasonings to Herodias was the people. Okay? Just bid your time. I mean, hold on. We're going to get him. He's going to pay for what he's done. And they put him in jail. Well, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, it tells the rest of the story. If you want to hear the rest of the story, what really takes place. Because Mark presents something a little different when it comes to Herod's response. Because look what it says in verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things. That means he was applying what he had heard and heard him gladly. Now, wait a minute. That's a totally different man than what Matthew reveals. Something happened. Something happened in Herod's life. Herod, the first thing it says, Mark's account after this, after he would not let her kill him, and then we find out that he had the very same thoughts, he would have killed him. He would have had him killed right there, but he feared the people. His first thoughts, what the thoughts that were planted in his mind, and those thoughts come from the devil. Satan's able to make suggestions. He's not able to force you to do anything. Satan cannot force you against your will, but he can suggest in your mind things that would lead you away from God. He can put suggestions in your mind that if you yield to, will take you farther and farther into darkness. That's what was taking place. Herodias continued to go farther into darkness. As you read the story here, from that moment, she determined whether Herod does it or not, I'll get around his authority and I will plot and I will plan and I will get vengeance. I will have the head of John the Baptist on the charger. No matter who suffers and what it takes, in her heart, she got deeper and deeper in darkness and deeper in ungodliness. And that's what we'll see. I mean, we already read it. We know it, but we'll break it down a little bit later. That's where she was going. Herod didn't go there. Mark reveals that he feared John. That feared John means reverenced him. Means respected him. Knowing that he was a just man and a holy man. See, because after Herod had time to think, and after the Spirit of God revealed to Herod, he was trying to reveal it to Herodias, and she blocked it out. After he had time to reveal to Herod, all John's doing is preaching truth. John is telling you what you already know, you just don't want to believe. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to see it. You divorce your wife. you cause Herodias to divorce your brother, more than likely you were already having relationships with her. You divorce each other's husband and wife, so for one reason, for selfish reasons, that you could come together and you have an ungodly marriage, and you know that what John preached was the very words of God. Yeah. He listened to the Holy Spirit of God convict him as to what John preached. Now, we know that's what the Holy Spirit of God's here to do. John chapter 16, look over there with me, because he does it in this very same day and age that we live in. If a person will listen to the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God will use that preaching to reveal to them truth. If you are saved and you come under the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. And He will bear witness with your spirit, and He will go with you, and He will continue to work in your life and continue to help you to see the truth. But even a lost man, if he comes under the preaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God will take the words that were preached and he will continually use those and bring those back up into the mind of that lost man, the mind of that lost woman, and continue to rehearse those over and over until that person will receive them or block them out. Now, John chapter 16. That's exactly what Jesus said would take place. He would send the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now this Comforter to comfort us, the believer to live inside of us, what he's saying there. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we find here that before he comes in to comfort us, to the lost person, he will just convict him of his sin and judgment. And he will reveal to them what is right and what is wrong. But you have to listen. You have to be willing to listen. Herodias, the thoughts were suggested by God under the preaching of John the Baptist. And Herodias blocked it out. Wouldn't even consider, even though she knew, if she knew anything about the law, she knew anything, she blocked it out. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to even think about it. It's not true. I'm going to kill John. And if Herod won't let me do it, I'll figure out a way. And she rejected light. She got darker and darker in the direction she was going. Herod, on the other hand, according to the scriptures, in the beginning, his first thoughts, he's going to die. I'm with you, Herodias. How dare he say that? How dare he preach to us that way? Who does he think he is? And then after they left and he had him put in prison, he didn't kill him, he had him put in prison, had time to think. I did do wrong by my brother, Philip. Everything that John said is exactly the way it happened. I do understand what God says about it. John was right. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was revealing to him, he's right, you're wrong. And then he started looking at John's testimony. And he seen that John was a just man. As far as he could tell, and all the records he pulled up, and he possibly interviewed different ones that knew anything about John, where'd he come from? Has he have a record? Has he ever been arrested before? Has he ever done anybody wrong? He would have loved to have been able to look at John's testimony and said, no, look at this. The guy did this and this. He's really not a man of God, and he's really not telling the truth. He's a false prophet. He's had this in his life and that in his life. He does not even meet the qualifications for a pastor. If he could have found any flaw in John's testimony, he would have found it. Praise God for a godly testimony. Especially when it comes to the preacher. I think that might be why that we have the qualifications for a pastor. Because God understands how important his testimony is. And that's probably why Satan works hard to try to discredit the testimony of pastors. I love the prophet Micah. He says in verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee." What does God require of us? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. If ever a believer would just understand the importance of your testimony, our testimony, and do what God requires, just look to do just. Be just in all your dealings. Love mercy. Forgive. Walk humbly with God. Be aware of your fellowship with God. And if you're going to fellowship with God, the Bible, we've already studied this many a times, you got to walk in the light as He is in the light. Because if you have darkness in your life, don't deceive yourself and think that you're fellowshipping with God. If you have darkness in your life, you have no fellowship with God. God only fellowships with that which is in light. And the light is the Word of God. God's Word is the light. Living by His Word will help us to have fellowship with God. And when you have fellowship with God, you're more mindful of your testimony. When you're walking with God, you're more mindful of how God wants to use it and how Satan would love to destroy it. And so you're mindful of doing right. God, give me right thoughts. Help me to do right. Help me not to respond according to the flesh. Help me not to respond according to anger and vengeance and everything else. But help me to understand the light and walk in the light. Herod did this. That's what the Bible says. When he looked at it, Herodias still wanted John dead. He put in jail, but while now he's in jail and he has time to think about what happened and what he's doing and look in his life, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was there, and Herod then started looking into John's life and realized that he was a just man. He was a holy man. He was a man that actually walked with God. And he reverenced him. He respected him. But now he's in prison. And my wife wants to kill him. And I calmed her down to start with. Now what do I do? Well, what will Herod do? What the typical human response would be? Put it off as long as he can. I don't know how to deal with my wife because she's not listening to the Spirit like I'm listening to the Spirit. I finally got my thinking right. I realize that I'm wrong in trying to kill John because of something I did. He was just preaching the truth. I understand that he is a just man, a holy man, and he's walking with God and he's preaching the truth, and the truth is what's convicting my heart. I understand that. But my wife doesn't. But that's a very difficult situation. It really is. When you're married to somebody and they want to do right and the other does not want to do right. You know, I've dealt with that in this church over the years. There have been, as I look back over the families that have left the church over issues, over things that they shouldn't leave a church over, 90% of the time, and I could probably go higher than that, but I am kind of really at the conservative end, saying 90% of the time, it's a problem with the wife. I've had men come to me and say, "Preacher, I know you're right, but I have to live with her. And so I'm going to have to leave. Wow. I don't know. I think the man's supposed to lead. I'm really thinking the man's supposed to be the spiritual leader and try to help his wife to understand what you understand. Perfect example. Put it off as long as he can. I can't release John. It calls another divorce. I know it's not right to let her kill him. So let's just put it off. Herod keeps John in prison for over a year. So this went on for over a year. When are you going to kill him? You promised me that we would just give it a little time, and you promised me that we would kill him. When are you going to do it? Every week. Is this a week? Over a year. She kept getting darker and darker. She kept going, getting worse and worse. And now she is devising her own plan when she realizes he's not going to do it. And he's just putting it off and putting it off. The Bible says concerning Herod's response after this, after he feared John, once he respected him, once he realized it was really, this was a man of God. This is a man that was just and holy. Observed him. I can learn something from this man. And when he heard him, he did many of the things. For a year, he would go down and he would talk to John. And he said, John, you got to understand, you know, I'm married to her. I can't let you go. I can't do that. I got to live with her. I can't let you go. But I understand now. I got it. I understand that what you were doing, you're just preaching the word. And he would go down there and he would gladly go and talk with John. He would gladly go, and John was trying to help him. John, even though he's in prison because Herod was not a man enough to stand up and say, my wife's wrong, you're right, release him from prison, wasn't going to do that. And so now he goes down there, and John is down, is talking to Herod and telling Herod some things. And Herod is starting to apply these things to his life and realizing, wow, they work. The Bible is the word of God. Even a lost man applying biblical principles will work in his life to a certain extent. Honesty, how to deal with people. There's so many things that if they just apply biblical principles, they will work. Because the Bible, the word is true. God's word is true. And so Herod now is down there, and the Bible says this. So Herod's going down there, he's getting closer and closer to John, and he's looking to talk to him because now he realizes what this man, the wisdom this man has, and the things that he says to me, I just enjoy it and I'm learning from it. That's exactly what the Bible says concerning Herod and now his respect for John. But why would God allow this? Why would God allow John the Baptist to be in prison for a little over a year and then finally have his head taken off? But for over a year, he's just in prison. And we find that John was confused a little bit and wondered himself, why? And he goes and asks, we've already studied that, where he went and sent his disciples, go ask Jesus. I don't understand this. If he's really the Messiah, maybe he should have come to visit me, or I know he could get me out of this place, and I'm still here. All the different things, we studied that, and how John was exhausted and all the things that were going on there. Praise the Lord that when Jesus sent back the message, it strengthened John to understand even more, and he was willing to lay his life down. But why would God allow this? For Herod? For Herodias, think if it's long enough that she will finally acknowledge the fact that she's wrong and come under conviction and allow the conviction in her life and get her life turned around. Would God allow that for a year for Herodias' sake, possibly other prisoners? as Joseph was in the prison house, and he was a witness to those in the prison house, and he was able to help them to understand that there is a God. And our God is powerful. Was it because of other prisoners that we don't know about that when we get to heaven we'll see the revival that took place in the prison because of John the Baptist's ministry now as a prison ministry? Could it be the soldiers? The soldiers that were there, they understood, they seen Herod and Herodias to start with, and now they're seeing Herod and his desire to go back and forth and continue, and they know that Herodias wants him dead. And so, was it the soldiers that would hear this and see this and how they might have impacted their lives? It impacted other people's lives. And who knows, was that it? Was it John's disciples? Did they need a year to get ready for John's beheading? Why would God allow this? The answer is all the above and more. It's always for more than what we are able to realize. In the beginning, when my dad passed away, I thought that God took him home just because of me. Because I've been running from the Lord. And I thought that God took my father, and it worked. It brought such conviction into my life and my heart. And after that, I surrendered to the ministry. I've never looked back. Ultimately, it took my father's death for God to get a hold of me. But you know what? That's vanity for me to think that. Who am I that God would take another person's life for me? I think it was one of the many reasons. God used that, yes, in my life, but I think he used it in every other brother and sister's life. I think he used it in my mother's life. I think he used it in dad's brother's lives and dad's sister's lives. And I think that everyone that knew my father and was connected to him, he used it in their lives. Can I tell you that whatever God allows, there is more to it than what you or I ever realize. Don't be so vain as to think it's just because of you. So glad that God gave me that. I'm thankful that God used it in my life. I don't have to live with the fact that I caused all that. Amen. But I praise God even more for taking my father once I've seen all that came out of it. God has a whole world and eternity in view all the time. The whole world. The whole world is impacted by John being in that prison for that year. The whole world and eternity. And yes, it did give every one of them an opportunity for a year to make a right decision. So Herod actually enjoyed, and for a whole year he had it. Enjoyed hearing John, even tried to apply some of what John taught him. Can I tell you that many have done the same thing in this church? Many have come to this church and they say, "Preacher, boy, the music in this church, powerful. And boy, you just sense the presence of God in this church. And preacher, you know, every time you preach, something inside of me." And they'll come. But those that fail to commit to it will come for a certain period of time. And then Satan will somehow or other start working in their lives to get them away from it. And as a preacher, I'm thinking, everything was exactly what you needed. And God was working in your life to a certain extent. But you never committed to it. You never surrendered to God's will for your life to make sure of your salvation and baptism and become a member to serve the Lord here. I had people come and for a year. And then something will happen and they'll be gone. I remember the conversations with them. Wow, praise you. You can sense the presence of God in this place. I enjoy coming to church. God has renewed within me a desire to be in church. What are you doing with it? See, put off committing to God what ought to be done. Before you know it, time will run out. Eventually, Satan will get to you. Roundabout way, it could be that Herodias will put you in a position where you'll agree to something you know is dead wrong. And the very thing that was a help to you, you end up crucifying, taking his head off. Wow. You know, we have several examples of that with the Lord Pilate. He examined Jesus, and Jesus spoke. Find several verses in the Bible that talk about that, and he said, This is a good man. I find no fault in him. How could you find fault in this man? He's sincere, he's godly, he's got a testimony, he's done nothing wrong. But Pilate, in the position he had, could have released him. But he put it off. Put it off. He knew he was innocent. He knew that he was a good man. But he thought, well, I will do it my way and I'll try to convince them and I'll get one of the worst men in prison. All of them know he's a murderer. And I'll present him and surely they'll say, let Jesus go and crucify him. It didn't happen that way because Satan was involved in it. Pilate put it off. So it was too late. Couldn't put it off. And he gave the order. Pilate gave the order. He was forced into it somewhat. He still gave the order. Crucify him. Agrippa. Paul was witnessing to Agrippa and he's telling him, Agrippa's hearing this and he knows that Paul's telling the truth. He even comes under conviction and he almost gets saved and he says, almost thou persuadest me. Paul said, I would rather, not almost, but that you would. I didn't witness to you. I haven't done all this just to get you on the threshold. Commit to it. Amen. Commit to it. Do what you know God wants you to do. Put it off. Gave it to somebody else. Agrippa's in hell today because of it. Herod became even more accountable. That's what it did. The more opportunity he had, the more he understood, the more accountable he was. He will eventually be the one that have John's head taken off. When we reject God's light, and sometimes when we just continue to put it off, we'll experience even greater darkness. Commit to it when you know it's the right thing to do. Like they've ever head bowed, every eye closed. Herod's response to John's preaching. Don't put it off. When you know it's right, when you know it's what God would have you to do, don't allow Satan opportunity to talk you out of it. Because he will. And the worst thing about it is, because you had greater opportunities, you have greater accountability. And you'll go deeper and deeper into darkness. When the light is revealed, when you know it's God's will, commit to it. I'm not going to have a musical invitation tonight. God spoke to you in a way that you have to respond. A decision that you know that God would have you to make. A commitment that you know that God would have you to commit to. Learn from this. Don't reject the light. Yield to it. And do what God would have you to do. Anyone else need to respond tonight? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the testimony of John the Baptist. And there's so many practical applications here. I pray that we would learn from this. And God, that we would be willing and ready to commit to whatever you would have us to do. As we get ready to leave, pray just watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appropriate hour. In Jesus' name.